Hello, guys. Welcome to Coffee Talk with Rob and Greg. We're up to episode 28 now. I'm Rob.
I'm Greg. Hi, guys. And today we've got a very special guest. And it's really exciting for us to invite Danny onto the podcast.
Hi. So,
hi, Danny. And do you just want to tell us a little bit about, because you've got quite an interesting life going on there. And we want to know a little bit about what you do and how you got into it, really.
So I'm a singer and public speaking coach is sort of my main niche, if you will, for my entrepreneurial role, as well as being a mum of three. Well, four, if you include my husband. So what I do is I help particularly women in business. I help them show up. I help them step into the vision of success, whatever that is, by being able to articulate their business or mission message. So often what we do in business, a lot of us, we hide behind, you know, marketing, pretty branding, and actually the real core of connecting with people is by speaking to them. Mm-hmm. And glossophobia is the number one fear in the world, can you believe? So I help people break through that and piece together their mission, mission and business message is what I do.
Fantastic. That sounds very interesting. What sort of phobia was it?
Glossophobia, the fear of public speaking, yeah.
Well, now you've done that, and you've done that.
Yeah, I used to be terrified of it, and now I've done a few. Doing Foresight certainly helped a bit with that, and going on our mutual friend Brad's public speaking course.
Yeah, and the thing is with it, it's a really ancient fear. So the bit of our brain that is really still animal, because we don't like, we're quite self-centered as human beings. We don't like to think of ourselves as animals. How dare we? But the bit of our brain that still is, that isn't reactionary, that isn't language based or logic based, that's reactionary to situations, that triggers that fight or flight, reaction in us. When we are presenting ourselves as alpha in a group, so that's what happens when we public speak. There's one of three outcomes for an animal when they're doing that. One is that they get accepted into the fold. Two is that they get rejected and they starve to death. And the other is they get rejected altogether and killed. And the bit of our brain that hasn't caught up with everything that we do is the bit that reacts to that. That's why so many people are frightened of it.
That's interesting. And how, you know, obviously knowing that and, you know, being involved in public speaking, how did you overcome that then?
Well, I've been a singer since I was 7 years old. So I've always been on the stage. So it kind of came as with anything, with any fear when you face it regularly.
Came naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you were saying, Rob, by learning about it, you've got better at it. By doing it, you get better at it. And so many people are frightened to take that leap. Whereas I've been doing that, it's something I've always done. It's something I've always kind of broke through that quite an early age. I worked in the corporate world from when I was 22, doing training for, you know, global businesses. So using that knowledge and that experience that I had, A, from being on stage and being able to hold audiences, and two, by being able to articulate messages, when I moved out to work for myself, that was something that was a skill that I was able to share.
And what made you work for yourself? What was the catalyst?
I couldn't be managed anymore.
You know what that's like, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, being, I was taken away from my family quite a lot working in the corporate space, because I was working for quite global brands. So I was working like 2 days out of London, 2 days out of Warrington, and then from Preston one of the days of the week. My children were very small. And also, when you're in a position where you are either managing or leading and people are employed, they don't necessarily want to be led or managed.
Mm, right.
So when you are trying to teach people things when they don't really want to be there, they want to get paid as little as possible, to do as little as possible, and then go home. And that's not a really engaged audience. So I really lost the love for it in the corporate space. And I found that outside of the corporate space, that actually people are eager to learn because they want to move themselves forward. So the audience is much warmer out here.
Yeah. Now, Rob and I were looking at what you do and everything in your bio and things. And Rob was saying about where you started out. Was it the council estate? Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading a bit on your bio, and it says about, you know, how you've kind of overcome adversity and being a single mum. And I thought that the journey you've come on was quite interesting. I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
Yeah. So, and this is something that I speak on. So one of the key underpinning foundations of my brand, which is the I Am The Queen Bee brand, is that we get to choose to fly anyway, regardless of where we come from. So yes, I grew up on the council estates of Preston. I'm going to say on the estates, I had a house. Like I wasn't a feral child, like fending for myself. But we were poor. We were not affluent as a family. You know, my family lost a couple of businesses. We used to look after our cousins. It was like a revolving door of people coming to stay with us whilst they had their own financial situations. Those families, we had cousins come to stay with us, and we couldn't afford to do all the extra bits that, you know, my mum would have liked to have done with us. So whilst we were looked after and well-loved, we didn't have really anything to speak of. So that was tough growing up. And that did a lot to my kind of money mindset and my work ethic. You know, I saw my mum really working hard to make ends meet, and that's what I felt like I had to do. So I was never going to be, you know, I was never going to be able to afford to travel. I thought, well, I might as well be paid to travel. And I was able to sing. So I traveled the world and moved all over the place, cruise ships and hotels and resorts, singing. Wow. It was fab. And then I came back, put down some roots, and very, very quickly, like in a nutshell, so this is really, really like condensed story. My husband-to-be left me. I had to make myself homeless. I was a victim of domestic violence with another partner, and it was a really tumultuous time. And there was a time within that, just towards the end, where I was like, it's either fight or flight here. I'm either going to have to go all the way under, or I've got to start happening to life instead of life happening to me. And that sort of formed the part of my onward journey, I guess.
Well, that's a very powerful story as well, isn't it, Robin? You know, we're just glad to have you on here and that you're open enough to share that with people, because I think it should inspire other women as well.
Definitely.
To be empowered and to follow what they want to do, because sometimes people can feel held back by the past or by trauma, like being, you know, in a council estate as well, feeling you're never, maybe not good enough or whatever. And
absolutely, and culturally within, you know, within those estates and those communities, whilst they're very supportive, they're very insular. Yes. So people like us don't become successful entrepreneurs. People like us don't become singers or public speakers or, you know, motivational people. People like us tend to kind of stay relatively insular and stay within our comfort zones. So when I started to kind of break through and break free of that, I had a lot of my own kind of demons to face as well. Like, was I even worthy of moving into this success space, you know, earning money and all of that sort of stuff. So it's been a very interesting exercise for me and my own personal growth through that as well. So part, one of my key messages is that we get to choose. You know, it's our birthright of success, abundance, peace, happiness, whatever, is ours just as much as it is the Queen. The Queen was just born into the royal family. Like, we get to choose.
That's a good perspective to have.
Yeah, it seems, I find this quite often with a lot of the like successful like entrepreneurs whose books you read and stories you hear about, particularly the ones that have come from like council estates or maybe a not very privileged background. Mm-hmm. They always seem to be the ones where they've got like a really strong work ethic and like a really, really big drive in order to make themselves better. Would you tend to agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm yet to meet somebody who is successful in all of their areas. If you look at success, it's very subjective. Success for me isn't just about money. It's about how happy you are, you know, how you are with your family, your relationships, your health, which I know is a big thing for you guys. The measure of success, if I look at successful people, and they are more like well-rounded in their success, are really interesting people. They've been on a journey. Might not necessarily be from like my like rags to riches sort of thing or this poverty upwards, but there's definitely this struggle or adversity lots of successful people come through. When you are like raising the bar for yourself, often you have to lean in and jump over hurdles to get there. And the successful people, the people that do it successfully. So, and the people that allow themselves to, you know, pick themselves up after they do experience that.
Fantastic. And with that said, I mean, how do you manage to keep pushing yourself forward when you got four kids?
three kids and a Wallace. So my journey outside, like through my adversity, I'm still just piecing everything back together. So you know, it's been 8 years really since things were really bad, and it's only really been in the past sort of 2 years that I've got the clear path for myself, and really in the past 12 months that I've started to that has started to bear fruit. So repairing things like credit ratings, repairing things like the house that I'm living in right now, and you guys can see where I'm living right now. So as it stands, I'm working out of my living room, which is where my husband works out of. So his computer is in one corner, mine is in another. We've got like bags of clean washing and the kids' toys, and we're still in the house that I moved into after I was homeless, and we've outgrown that. So I'm still in a position where there's still work to be done to make us comfortable as a family. So that drive is still there. Now that I've got this this congruent mission as well to help other people, when that's done and I've got everything that I need to keep us stable and to keep us safe and happy and affluent, then I'm able to start looking at giving that back as well. So it's nice to know that, you know, when we do get the nice house and all of the trimmings that go with, you know, being successful, that actually we've got a direction to go after that as well. I think it's important.
Yeah, that's very interesting and actually very inspiring for people who want to, you know, do something for themselves. And what would your message be if you could say like a sentence to any women out there that are wondering whether to go for it, and you know, they've got kids maybe as well, they're busy. How can you go about starting a business and manage everything? I mean,
whilst my key audience is women, I would say this to anybody, you know, men, women, transgender, anybody, is that if it's burning inside you to do it, and you have a goods, product, service, mission, whatever, that's going to help somebody. If you don't do it, that's going to leave the person you can help unhelped. So you're doing people a disservice by not doing the thing that you really want to do. So you need to do it. Who are you not to do it? So if you're sat there thinking, you know, oh, I've got this thing, it's a really good idea, I think it's going to help loads of people, by not doing it, you are doing the world a disservice. Your success is important to the world.
That's brilliant, actually, and that's, you know, just something which people really need to hear to remind themselves, isn't it? Because we all get our doubts, people in business, and what we're doing, don't we, Rob?
Yeah, is it called imposter syndrome as well, where, like, you feel like you don't deserve this sort of situation that you found yourself in, where, you know, you started a business and you're starting to do well, and,
Why are you good enough,
doing what's different from the conventional norm that they expect of people, you know, nobody from this council state ever goes on to do really successful things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's some interesting points there. And I'd also say we've looked a bit at your brand as well. And what, you know, obviously your brand connects directly to a specific type of person or target. You've got a few different things going there. Have you got merchandise as well, or?
Yeah, I've got merchandise. So the idea is that I am the Queen Bee is the name of the movement, the I'm the Queen Bee movement. And it's not just women. We have King Bees as well. Like Rob's defo a King Bee. Like we're friends. Yeah. I don't want people out there listening to think that it is just about that. It's not like this uber feminist movement where we're man-hating. It's not. It's a really inclusive brand. But revenue streams are important when you're building a business. Also, so is a sense of tribe. So as a movement, people want to identify with the thing that they are a part of. So often when you find successful brands, things like merchandise just help people with social proofing or being a member of something, or, you know, being able to share that, yeah, actually, I know Danny, I've got one of her hoodies, or I've got a pen, or I've got a notebook,
or
I've got
water bottle.
Oh, yeah, or an RL Fitness water bottle, absolutely, yeah. Rob.
I got one
but
of them.
For
sure, but it's that social proving, it's that connection, it's that I'm a part of something.
Sense of community.
Yeah, 100%. And having a little bit of merch. So I teach public speaking, I mentor small businesses that are leveling up. And sometimes my events, like I do live events, might not be right for everybody, but they still want to support, they still want to be a part of it. So merch is a really great way of doing that.
Did you have this kind of like epiphany idea about having your brand and everything else, or was it like, did it evolve? Was it like a caterpillar kind of thing going into?
It evolved, but it evolved very quickly. So I've been working, I've been in business for a lot of years. So I know what the components need to look like for a successful brand. But it actually started with me putting my makeup on in the car, going live and just talking about life and talking about like my musings and like really oversharing, I guess. But it started there and people would just tune into me putting my makeup on in the car. Right. I still do it now. Like I don't not do it. I even got involved with a network marketing company, like selling makeup because I'm not now, but selling makeup because it just made sense that I was putting makeup on my face. People was like, so I had a successful network marketing business for quite some time based on this premise. And people were like coming to watch me and I was musing on like doing a lot of personal development, self-development, mind development, business development at the time. And still do, like it's part of my daily practices to learn. But I would share the things that I was learning or I would share my life experiences and my take on it. And it was from there really was the seed that the whole thing grew. I was like, right, I'm actually helping people. People would message me and say, wow, you're so inspiring or what you said really resonated with me. And I thought, oh gosh, could I make something of that? And that's like where it started and then it snowballed. And then we had to put like a model in place for it so that I weren't just answering messages all the time, that we was that there was something that was really clear that people could access.
So it started like carpool karaoke kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like carpool, personal development and makeup.
What would you say, what was that moment where you suddenly thought, where you're sat doing these live and you thought, do you know what, I could make a business out of this? When did you have that like sort of epiphany, so to speak?
So I surround myself with the people that I aspire to be like. It was always in me to, you know, be successful. I just didn't know how. I didn't know like what was the path for that. What was the channel? How do you monetize something like that? Other than telling everybody that I'm awesome. Like, what was the stuff that they was going to buy from me? So I would look at people in the online space and the offline space. People like Brad Burton, like Lisa Johnson from Lisa Johnson Coaching. People like Samantha Barefoot that are out in the online space that are earning. I thought, well, okay, how do I make that business model apply to me and what I do? What's my niche even? One of the things that I'm really good at is making people feel awesome. Just building people up and making them feel awesome. And getting them to see in themselves what they're capable of. The other thing that I'm really good at is that I can teach people how to talk. I know how to do that. I do it well. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. We've noticed, haven't we?
But being able to package that up into training programs, online training programs, in real life events, one-to-one coaching, made for a really great business model. So it was looking for people that were earning money in the online space, the offline space, and then making the model apply to me and what my niche was.
And what sort of books do you read? Because you were saying about business development, personal development. I know that Rob and I are, you know, we read a lot and share books with each other and things. Is there like a standout book that you think people should read that if they're aspiring to get into maybe a coaching business or online or trying to build a brand somehow? Is there something that...
Yeah. So the book that was kind of really pivotal for me, there was two. I listen to a lot of books because I'm a busy person. I don't have time often to sit down and read. So I do a lot of listening on Audible and the like and listening to podcasts like this. But there was Rachel Hollis' Girl Wash Your Face was a really good one. And also You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero is a really great one. For the British audience, because I know sometimes personal development can be quite American, unless you desensitize yourself to it, can feel a little bit inaccessible. There's Andy Cope, The Art of Being Brilliant, and also Dan Meredith. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Yeah, no, you can swear. Say the full title. I know the book.
Well, I forgot the title. What is the title? I know it's got swear in it.
How to Be Fucking Awesome.
How to Be Fucking Awesome. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, and. That is really great, really accessible way to be looking at personal development and looking at things logically for yourself from a personal.
I rate Dan. He was like one of the first people I came across when I was like starting a home business and like trying to learn how the hell do I actually run a business. And I think I came across like a few of pieces of his content and I heard him on another podcast and I rate him and like his style of being very like no filter, basically a bit like Brad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be drawn to similar people. You'll see something in them that you'd like to see in yourself, or that is a little bit of yourself. And you also find as well that when you enter the field, when you enter that, so me as somebody who's becoming more visible in the online space and the offline space, is that they're actually more accessible than you think. So Brad, for example, was somebody in my eyes who is kind of like semi-famous in my eyes. I was like, God, okay. So, but now he's my friend and mentor. He's written the foreword to my book. He's an incredible like influence for me, but also the likes of Dan Meredith I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. And I would never like have a conversation with him. And now I'm much closer to him in the space than many people realize, that you can get close to these people as well. You can invite these people into your circle.
Mm, a lot of them have Facebook groups that you can join as well.
Yeah. Well, that's sure. A good point though, isn't it? Is that actually that's another fear that a lot of people have. They have the talking fear. They have the marriage fear. I know I got that. And they have sometimes that fear of, oh, are they untouchable? But actually, if you ask, if you just step up and say, you know what, I just wonder if, because I'm doing it with JV partners, you know, connecting with people who I used to think, God, are up there. But if you keep putting people on pedestals, you know, you might always feel inferior. So you've got to try and realize that you've got similar values to bring.
Yeah.
And so you're obviously, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, you rise up that way. So I'm a bit cheeky. I really appreciate tenacity in people because I'm tenacious myself. So I'm always thinking a little bit outside of the box. I think about, you know, who I want to surround myself with. So for example, Lisa Johnson's a great example of this, as is Brad, but maybe 12 months, 18 months ago, Lisa Johnson is a very high profile business strategist in the online space. Not everybody knows her, but those that do, she's incredible. But I got into her inbox about 12 months, 18 months ago, and I was like, you don't know who I am yet, Lisa. Yes. But I feel like we're going to be friends. I'm so excited. I would like to know how I could help you in any way at all. And go and offer some value to those people. Or strike a conversation and just say, look, like, if there's anything I can do, or how do I work with you? I'm so interested in working with you. Or if you have merch for me, send them a t-shirt. Say like, look, I don't want you to like wear it or don't share it, but I just so appreciate you and what you do. And, you know, I've watched your things and I've applied them. It's made a difference to me. I'd love to gift you something. Like, I am never going to say no to someone like that. Like, send me some stuff.
Yeah.
I love a good freebie when you get offered one.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's awesome, isn't it? Well, that's great tips as well, because sometimes people are scared of reaching out to others who they, you know, might hold in high esteem or whatever. But, you know, that's the, like the art of giving, isn't it? And the law of reciprocity is, if you make an effort to do these things, you know, people do come back to you, and you can build a good sort of network of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a great story now. She laughs about it now because we're great friends. She was like, she's not even lying. We're really good friends now. She's like, oh God, you was right. I was like, I know.
You knew you would, yeah. So that unstoppable sort of confidence or whatever that you may consider you've got, was it always there, or did you build it?
No, and I wouldn't even say it was like the unstoppable confidence that I have now has come from years and years of learning to love myself and knowing that I do have value in the things that I've got to give. When I first started out, especially, you know, I think about 8 years ago, and I'd lost my house and I was on my own with the kids, and I made some terrible decisions, and it was very easy to think that I didn't have value. And like Rob, you were saying about that imposter syndrome, who am I? Who am I to be even popping my head above the parapet when there are so many amazing people out there? And it didn't grow overnight. It's not an overnight. You can't be a coach to someone and say, oh, just be confident. Like, there's a whole healing process that you've got to go through for lots of different reasons when you are allowing yourself to step into that power and just say, you know what? I'm really good at what I do. Like, I own it. I'm really good at what I do. And there is a confidence that comes from owning that, that allows other people to believe that too. And that's how business and success grows, that when you believe in yourself, people will automatically believe in you. And there is the magic.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, because there is that barrier, isn't there? And as you said, imposter syndrome.
Yeah, and I think we have a tendency as well to compare ourselves to other people in the same field and think that, oh, I'm never going to be as good as them, sort of thing. Like, I get that a lot when I see other PTs that are doing really well. I'm like, what are they doing that I'm not sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's a visibility thing. And I would say, so I've just written a really small, it's a very tiny book called Closed Mouths Don't Get Fed. And your visibility has a lot to do with your success as well. So if you're not talking about what you do all the time to lots of different people as much as you can, then people won't know who you are. And that's probably why it always comes down to a visibility thing. If I don't see you, I don't know you're there. So I can't buy from you. Or if you're giving out mixed messages as well, if people are giving out, I know you don't, I'm not, that's not me saying that you do, Rob. I know exactly what you're doing. It's amazing. But some people have their fingers in lots of different pies and people don't know. What do they do? Like, how am I going to buy from a confused people don't buy? So that's two things that I talk to my clients a lot. Closed mouths don't get fed, by not talking about what it is that you do, why you do what you do, and all of the little bits that go in between that. And also by not being really clear on yourself, like what it is that you do. The first piece of work I do with anybody is I get them to do this. It's called a vocal business card, where I get them to tell me who they are, what they do, who they help, and what is the result of that. And so many people, when they first start working with me, go, I don't know what I do. There's a powerful statement in I am, and I, my name is Danny Wallace and I am a public speaking coach. You know, for you, it would be, I am Robert Lee and I am a physical trainer. You know, that's what, a personal trainer. And be really, really strong in that. It's like a pilot when you get on a plane. The guy tells you he's a pilot and nobody asks to see his credentials. They just get on that plane, you know?
Like, cheers, mate. Yeah,
yeah, like, fly me home.
Lanzarote.
Yeah.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's and that comes down to, you know, like auto-suggestion, the power of speaking and assertiveness and understanding that what you do stand for, your value.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
worthy to other people and the results they want to get. And as you said, the visibility, it can be online and offline, social media, but also the most powerful thing is talking. Now, talking about that, it builds momentum. What's the greatest thing that you do in that area? Do you find you prefer talking to people face-to-face? Is that, or do you do Skype or...?
I'll talk whoever gives me a platform. I just like have like a wind up toy. You just set me up and start talking.
Yeah.
My favorite platform is on stage talking to groups of people. It feeds the showgirl in me, I guess. But also there is a paradigm shift that's happening right now out in the world where people have been meeting online. So they've been meeting. I talk about URL to IRL, where people are meeting and creating relationships online, but they want to take them offline. They want to make them more meaningful because they're finding that it's quite empty now. Or that it's not empty. I mean, sometimes you meet people on the internet in forums and stuff and you become like the best of friends. And again, Greg, me and Rob are a great example of this, like in some of the communities where we hang out, where some of them will have never met before unless we go to an event. And then it's like we've always known each other. There's none of the discomfort.
Every time at Brad's event, whenever you see anyone that from like all of his groups, it's like you've known their family.
That's wonderful, isn't it? So it's like an extended family feel.
Yeah.
I think.
But, and again, from a networking point of view, if you look 50 years ago, the world was quite small. You could only really network in your local area in real life. Then the age of the internet happened and then that threw the globe open. And then now that's becoming quite cold. People want to take that back and make that more community-based again, but in the real world. So there's this real paradigm shift for like real-life eventing, real-life networking, taking those URL experiences, IRL, and there's so much more warmth. It's like seeing the whites of people's eyes, you know, in the room, being able to feel their energy almost without sounding too woo. It's really powerful.
Yeah, there is a palpable feel to people who have got a positive energy or, you know, or want to try and improve something, you know?
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but it's a bit like vinyl, like records. People have gone, we've gone so virtual that now people are going, actually, I want a record.
Yes.
To hold. They want real people to talk to. They want to come back to reality because it all got a little bit too, you know, out there. And
clinical almost. Right. It's just almost too clinical and clean and you can hide. You can't hide in real life. Like, so many keyboard warriors out there. I mean, I get this as well. Even in the past, like, 72 hours, I've had people, like, be keyboard warriors where I'm concerned. I'm like, if we were in real life and we was having this connection in real life, you wouldn't dream of saying the things that you're saying right now. It's allowed people to become cold, and that real need to move things like outside into the real life space, or even just be like doing things like Skype calls or Zoom calls or lives or things like that. It just allows people to hide less, and people want to build that trust in another way.
Yeah, I very much find like what you say, as soon as you put yourself out there and make yourself a bit more visible, you do get these like knobheads that come in and start.
So that's what they are, knobheads.
Yeah. But yeah, as soon as you put yourself out there, you do get like these people that will come in and start saying things. But I find there's always more of the positive people. But what people have a tendency to focus on is that one person that's been a knobhead and going like this and saying something nasty.
Yeah. And that comes back to the you know, the limbic part of the brain that we were talking about before. That one person is your brain sees that as a real physical threat, which is why you end up mulling over the one person instead of the 70 people, 100 people, 1,000 people who are really bigging you up. Well, they're not a threat. So you're not concerned about them. But that one person, the reason why is because your brain doesn't know that they're not a physical threat. They're not going to come and kill you, for God's sake. You know, like the keyboard warriors, you know, that's what they are.
Deep down, you know. And the thing being is, you know, I don't know if you've done a lot of NLP stuff and neurolinguistic, but you know, we've all got these associative memories from our pasts and everything else.
Yeah.
So we could associate someone who goes, you know, it's because the more successful you become or exposed, you're going to get haters. And to be, I use them as fuel, you know, I say, it's all good, man. You know, because if you don't like what I do, that's no problem, because you're one less person that, whatever, you know,
yeah.
If you put energy over there and say, oh, why don't they like me? And you're wasting your energy.
Yes.
That could be used in a positive way, productive way. That's actually making a difference. Yeah. You know,
100%.
It's learning to detach from it all, isn't it? From the noise in that.
So what I do now and what I do with my, it's certainly in the case of, you know, I've had a little bit of local media coverage, let's say like in the last week or so. And as a result, some people don't like what it is that I'm saying, and that's cool. It's absolutely cool. It's their prerogative. But for me, haters equal levels of success. So if you're getting haters, it means you're being more visible. It means that more people are seeing what you're doing. You're able to help more people. I bought a bottle of champagne. Like I was like, yes, I told you. I was thrilled. I was like, hi, I'm doing my job right. Like I toasted those people and was like, wish them and sent them love and wish them all the very best. But yeah, they can't hurt me.
And that's the thing. If you send out love regardless, that's power, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I always make a joke about it. I just say, like, thank you for the engagement on my page. More people are going to see this now.
Thanks, algorithm.
Yeah. Cheers, then.
And the love drowns it out as well. So, like, my tribe, my queen bees are incredible. Like, my friends are amazing. My network is just wonderful. So there's only, like, one or two voices. It gets drowned out with so much love that it's like water off a duck's back.
Wonderful stuff. That's wonderful. And where is it people can find you? Because obviously you've got a book, you've got a website, a blog as well, or?
I don't have a blog, no. I've got a website. I don't hang out on the website. The website is just where you can kind of go and like book, if you will, if you wanted to book me. But I hang out predominantly on Facebook, a little bit on Instagram. I'm a bit of a nana on social media. Like I hang out on Facebook. But all of my handles on the socials are at the Queen Bee Danny. So like if you follow at the Queen Bee Danny, you'll find me. And then there's the IATQB Hive, which is I am the Queen Bee, it's the acronym. The IATQB Hive on Facebook, where men and women alike, it's a safe space to come and just share your business journeys with each other. It's not a selling space, it's a support space where you can come and share your wins and share your losses. And it's a whole heap of love and support in there for anybody that wants to come along, come and find us.
That sounds fantastic, doesn't it, Rob?
And with the book, when can people buy the book?
They can buy the book now on my website. We've not done a release on Amazon because it's called a micro book. So it's like a little book off. So it's a little book of public speaking. So it's called Closed Mouths Don't Get Fed. You can get that on the iamthequeenbee.co.uk website under shop. And then later this year, there's going to be a release of a bigger book, sort of a bigger business tips. And that's going to be called Show Up, Wise Up, Rise Up. Top tips from a former serial self-saboteur.
Nice.
That sounds good. Yeah, because I wrote a book called Stop Self-Sabotage, which was something I can relate to as well, because council estate kid as well and all that.
We do it. We do it. Yeah. It's inherent in us.
You can easily go, oh, why am I good? Am I good enough? Why am I? You know? And I was a bit in the shadow of my twin brother and stuff. So, yeah, I totally relate to that. And I think a lot of our listeners will totally relate to what you're saying. Mm. And yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure for me personally. And I know you as well, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. I've enjoyed it.
So, yeah, we know if you leave some details and then Rob and I can put that in the link. For
yeah,
I'll
put it in the,
right?
in the show notes in the description so people can download it.
Amazing.
And then we'll have to get like a part two at some point. Update throughout the year.
Yeah, come see me. I'll have a coffee with you guys anytime.
Well, I'm going to catch up with you in a few weeks anyway. At now what?
Like, yes.
Yeah, so make sure you get some notes down and pictures and everything, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, my friends.
You take care of yourself. Give our love to the family and we'll speak again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.